God speak to you. I was talking to someone earlier about some people who are watching today, and they said, I don't know if they understood the connection because they weren't in the gang world, and what we're going to talk about is their life, but I want you to think about how it's going to apply to your life. Hopefully that'll be very clear, very simple. Let me encourage you a few things. Take care of a few housekeeping tips before we start. One, take pictures, send it out to social media for people to come to the next service, and or just, as I always tell you, whatever God speaks to you or shows you, send it out to your social media world so people can get some God from whatever God gives you. Amen? I'm on Twitter. Follow me on Twitter, Facebook. I send stuff out every day, and I'll give you a little nugget that God gave me for today for you. First thing, just a couple of things that happened this weekend. Yesterday, we had our first boxing match here at The Rock. We had a boxing ring right on stage here. We had 16 amateur fights, and 100 people. I got up and shared the gospel between, I don't know which fights in the middle of the day, but there's the ring on stage, and I got up and shared the gospel. We had about 100 people get saved at the boxing match. Amen. Now, I know some of y'all are thinking, why would we have a stage and the church and all the fighting? And well, one, we fight the devil every time we walk in this building, so there's always a fight. Number two, we did it because we can. You know, it's just a building. As simple as that. My prayer and hope and goal is that we're going to fill this place and have MMA fighters right here in the cage or whatever and just pack this place out with non-Christians and get the gospel. So yesterday, 100 people got saved. And there was a guy who didn't get saved yesterday, but he was sitting right back there. And I went back and grabbed him, big dude. And I said, yo, man, you need God. And we started talking. He ended up getting saved this morning and came forward down this morning. So went from there, went out to East County. We had our East County groundbreaking at our East County church, and we had about 1,500 people out there. Amen. I mean, it was amazing, amazing crowd. The place was packed, crawling with people. We had 500 seats and about 1,000 people standing behind them, food trucks, lowrider cars. It was just unbelievable. I was like, why can't we do this every week? We had half the city council from El Cajon there. The whole city council of El Cajon is Christian, and they were like, whatever you want to do, we want to help you. Police chief was there. It was unbelievable. So that church is going to blow up. It's incredible. And then the third, by the way, we are all live in North County. If you live in the North County, we're live in San Marcos right now. All four of our first four services are live up there. So if you live up there, you can go to church up there. And the church in East County would also be the same thing. We're probably going to have all five services live, and we'll be talking right to them on the screen. So it's going to be great. Excuse me. The last thing is that our refinance of this building is final. It went through on Friday. Amen. So we got that. That's it. Let's pray real quick. Let's pray. Had to get all that out just so we can make sure we're staying on track. Lord, thank you so much for today. Thank you so much for everybody that's here. Thank you for what you are going to do. Thank you for what you are going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's see your Bibles tonight. Let's see your Bible. Say word. Let's turn to, that was kind of weak. Let's try that one more time. Say word. Very good. Let's turn to Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. And whenever you're here, please take pictures and video and send it out. So you can just get the word out. Here's what God gave me for today for you. Acts chapter 7. If anyone has ever done anything good for God, they have sometime in the past done something bad against God. I mean, it's another way of saying the obvious, that we're all sinners. But the reason it's very important for us to think about it that way is because a lot of times when we get saved, or even before we're saved, we start to think that we're good. And then we start to look at people who are not, who we think are worse than us. We see them as bad. And we forget that we're all bad and that we're all sinners. And before God, we're guilty and deserving of death. And so if you've ever done anything good for God, or if you think you're doing something good for God or you're good, you got to remember that you've done bad things against God and maybe still do. And so today we're going to talk about people who may have done stuff that you didn't do, but they're really not that much different than you before God. And then God has a call in their life. Now, I want to preface our interview with a little talk about who the Apostle Paul was. When we think of the Apostle Paul, we think of a guy who wrote half the New Testament. But what we forget is that he was a murderer. He was a thug, that he arrested Christians and went into synagogues where the Christians were, the conversion, they were Jews, that they became Christians, taking them out of the synagogue, arresting them, putting them on trial. And the first Christian that was ever killed, Stephen, they put him on trial, they gave him a death sentence, and they stoned him to death only because he believed in Jesus Christ. Okay, so look at chapter 7, verse 58. It says, they cast him out of the city and stoned him. That's the Stephen, the first martyr. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. Everyone say Saul. Saul was there saying, yes, I am consenting to his death. He was the guy from the Sanhedrin or the Jewish ruling council that convicted Stephen just because he was a Christian. Look what it says in chapter 8, verse 1. It says, Saul approved of his execution. He was a murderer. He was wrong. Look at chapter 9, verse 1. Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked for letters to the synagogues of Damascus, basically subpoenas, so that if he found anyone belonging to Christianity or the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. So he went to the high priest and said, I want a letter, which is basically a subpoena, a search warrant, to bring you out as a Christian, and we're going to bring you back and put you on trial. That was the Apostle Paul before he got saved. We need to stop right there because we think of him as a good guy. He ended up being a good guy, but at this point, he was a thug. So, Taz, what's up, Taz? Matter of fact, everyone say hi, Taz. say hi, Frankie. Everyone say hi, Frankie. Trying to get Frankie a girlfriend, so if anybody's wondering. Say hi, Noel.
Hi, Noel.
Say hi, Larry.
Hi, Larry.
Okay, very good. So, Taz, we'll go with you first. Tell us about your family, when you got into gangs, and anything you want to talk about that.
Mic check.
Testing.
Try it again. I'm originally from New York. I'm the third brother. I got two older, one younger. He's over there. And I was involved in gangs since I was 14 to my mid-20s, drugs and alcohol and all that.
Okay. Frankie? Can you turn that mic on? I mean, is there any reason why you...
So my name is Frankie. I'm born and raised in Southeast San Diego. I'm the oldest of three siblings. Shout out to my mom, my dad, and my sister here right now. My tia, I see you in the back. My other cousins, all right. Got to give them a shout out, you know. They're my support.
God bless y'all.
And my mom, my dad right here, my sister.
God bless
but you know, I'm the oldest brother. I started running around with a lot of my older cousins, seeing a lot of older homies in the neighborhood, and just kind of started following suit. You know, wanted to be a follower, wanted to be like them. Started rolling with my cousin and his Impala, and I was telling the story in the back how my aunt back there, she one night she came and she put holy oil on the car, and she said, in the name of Jesus, this car will not start tomorrow, and it never did. I see you. But yeah, you know, that's just my life.
I got some cars you can put holy water on to make them start.
Yeah, so I just started rolling. I was like 13 or 14, rolling with my older cousin, just hitting the avenue, the boulevard, and then after that, it just started spiraling out of control. I got into hip-hop, local San Diego rap here, and just started having love for money, and eventually money became my God.
Noel?
So my name is Noel, and I grew up in East Dago, and I was raised in church up until about age 13 when they gave me the opportunity to make my own choice, and so I kind of walked away from God and started hanging out with some friends that I met in junior high, some girls, and we're known as the OG Mixed Girls, And we were in City Heights in the 80s, and it was pretty rough. There was a lot of gang violence and crack cocaine and drive-by shootings, and it was just really rough. And so, you know, we bound together, and we were running together. And
doing?
Fighting.
Fighting. Pulling girls' hair out.
Pulling girls' hair out.
Taking earrings out.
Yeah, yeah, taking our earrings off. And, you know, I mean, there were times when we went to house parties, and we would walk in, and they would be like, who invited you guys? And we'd have to, like, you know, fight our way out of the party to exit. So, so it was.
My name is Larry. I also grew up in Southeast San Diego, south of the 94. I grew up, and I didn't grow up in a broken down home. I grew up in a broken down era, the 85-86 era, when crack and gang violence was at an all time high, and life expectancy was real short. So, yeah, I've been banging since I was 12 up until 2009.
So Paul was arresting people, killing people, doing his thing, and then something happened. Look at chapter 9, verse 3. As he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. Falling to the ground, he heard a voice say, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you will do. In other words, I am now taking over your life. We all have times in our life when we're doing what we want to do, and whether we think we're doing the right thing. When we're not, we're fighting against God. And then God says, enough is enough, and he slams us to the ground. And you find yourself at the end of a rope. You can't go any further. You can't make money. You can't get a job, whatever, whatever. And God is trying to show you that you are not in control. Even though he let you think that for a long time, and even though some of y'all, all y'all who got jobs, you think you got that job, God allows you to get that job. And God can take that job. God can take your last breath right now. He's allowing you to live. He's allowing you to make a living. He's allowing you to be successful. He's giving you your talent. And we think it's us. And he's so gracious, he lets us think that. But in this Paul situation, he said, Paul, I'm throwing you to the ground. And Saul said, is that you, Lord? And I take that as this. Nobody's going to throw me to the ground except God. And sometimes it takes us to go through a real big tragedy for us to realize that we got to go to God. And so I want to ask y'all, when was that time for you? Let's go with you, Taz.
It was a lot of things, but, I got stabbed. I lost my football scholarship. My family life fell apart. I became an alcoholic.
Any more?
I mean, yeah, there's a lot more. But I also want to say hello to my friends in Hawaii. They're watching, and then my Misfit crew over there.
That's right, that's right. They just want to say hello to all his friends and all the people in Hawaii. What's the guy's name?
My friend Clay and his girlfriend Echo.
What's up, Clay? Hi. Everyone say hi to Clay. Say hi, Clay. Tell us about getting stabbed.
Well, I got stabbed. But, you know, I wasn't really angry because, it was business. I had got somebody he knew earlier, and I got stabbed, and I hung out with all different kind of gangs, all different ethnicities, but at this one point in my life, I was hanging out with skinheads, and when I went to the hospital right here, UCSD Trauma Center, I found out later on, not that night, but the next day, the doctor that saved me was a black man, and then it was also a woman, who I both had bad views of back then, at that time.
And what was God doing to you then? So here you have this issue with brown people and women, and the brown guy saves your life.
Well, I was glad he saved me. it starts working on your head, start thinking about it, and it starts to get on your conscience, you know what I mean? You can't be a good criminal if you got a conscience.
Very good. You want to tweet that out. You can't be a good criminal without it. Noel, what was your experience when God threw you to the ground?
When God threw me to the ground, I say I was pushed, but what happened was I was at work, and I was walking, and I fell, and so they told me I had to go see a workers' comp doctor, and so I went to see the workers' comp doctor, and when they took my blood pressure, they said it was at stroke level, like 199 over 99 or something like that, and so I went to go see a primary care physician, because they said, you need to see your primary care physician, there may be something wrong, so they ran a series of tests and found out I had Graves' disease, which is a hyperactive thyroid disorder. It's where your brain tells your body that you need more thyroid hormone than what you really need. And the thyroid hormone controls your body. It's like the battery to your body. So then they put me on a treatment, and during the treatment, I lost 2/3 of my hair, and my eyes started bulging, one started closing. And then I developed like a really bad sore throat during this time. And there was a lot of other stuff going on, like heart palpitations and different things from the thyroid. But I developed this sore throat that went on, and I kept going to the doctor, and they kept saying, oh, it's the flu, you know. And then finally I saw a doctor for the third time, and this doctor said, this medication that you're taking may be causing this problem. And so I went to the I went to go see him. I took a blood test, and he called me back like 45 minutes later and said, you need to go to the emergency room or you're going to die. And so I was like, okay. So I went to the emergency room, and he said, I'm going to die. Okay. That sounds great. And so I went to the emergency room, and he told me, when you get there, tell him that you're really sick and that you can't be around other people because you don't have an immune system. Something's wrong. You know, this medication, something's wrong. And so I get there and I tell them I'm really sick. I can't be with these other people. And they're like, whatever, just go have a seat, you know. And so finally somebody read my chart and they saw it and they go, oh my gosh. So they put me in an isolated room. And then a panel of doctors came in. And when the doctors came in, they explained to me that this medication that they had given me to treat my thyroid could cause, one in a million people, it eats your white count. One out of a million people, that's a side effect for one out of a million people.
Your white blood cells is your immune system, and it'll wipe your immune system out where you catch the disease and die.
Gone. So they said basically if someone were to sneeze, I could die. And so these panel of doctors came in, there was like five or six of them, and they looked at me and they said, I'm really sorry about this, we're gonna take you off this medication. And so what they did was they handed me a stack of those medical masks that you see people wearing sometimes and a can of Lysol spray. And they told me to go home and pray. We're going to take you off this medication and we hope that your white count comes back. And at that moment, I was thinking, like, go home and pray? That's the prescription. And I go, okay.
There's going to be times in your life where God is going to take away everything you trust in. He's going to take away all your hope that you have and everything else, and all you're going to have is God. And if you're there now, that's exactly where God wants you. Because if you have God, you have everything. So you think you need your friends, you think you need money in the bank, you think you need all this, and all that's good and fine, but all you need is God. And there are going to come times in your life when he says, you know what, I think I need to hit you on the head because you're not listening. And he's going to take away everything you have, and all you're going to have is God. Now, if you can live like that all the time, where you just look to God first, which is why it's great to go to God in the morning first in the day and acknowledge him as your God first in the day, then your life will be different. But if you're living your life trusting in people and things and on yourself and then only in God when it's an emergency, that's not Christianity, what kind of Christianity God wants. He wants you to be trusting him 24/7 all the time, whether you have a lot or you don't. You know that verse, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. A lot of people don't mean, you think that means that you can do anything you want if God strengthens you. That's not what it means. I cannot play in the WNBA. And not because I'm a guy, it's because I'm not good enough. And also because I'm a guy. So I can pray all I want. It ain't ever going to happen. What that verse means is that as long as I trust in God, I will be able to handle anything he puts in front of me. That's what that means. And so it doesn't mean you can just claim it and I'm going to go do it. It means God's going to put something in front of you, but every single day you have to learn, God, I'm only going to do today because you strengthen me. Okay? Frankie, tell us about you hitting rock bottom, getting knocked down to the ground.
I got knocked out bad by God. I got involved in the local rap scene here in San Diego. you know, I was we had a crew, we had a big old entourage, and me and the homies used to always mob thick everywhere we went. I mean, 3, 4, 5 carloads. We started making a lot of money. You know, money was rubber band money, any kind of money. I started having a love for money from the morning I woke up to the night I went to sleep. Started stressing the next day on how I could make more money, more money, more money. Eventually, that lasted for a short time. Everywhere we went, I just felt like powerful. We had all this money and felt like kings of SD, so to speak, at that given moment, at that time. We had a lot of music being played out there. And long story short, just all my friends just started going to prison. Everyone was getting cracked for different cases. They were catching cases left and right, and these dudes were all getting broke off double-digit years. I remember talking to my friend in the county jail here, and he said, man, they're giving out wide receiver numbers. You know what I mean? And he says, they ain't playing in here, bro. All my friends just started going to prison, man. And just like about a year and a half, 2 years ago, my best friend, he got sentenced to life in prison. And that really hurt me. And then I had caught a case 6 years that I was facing for something I didn't even do. And I took that to trial for 7 months before I was found not guilty by a jury. Just to trust in God, because I had read a scripture that my aunt, she would always tell me, read the Bible. And I was like, all right, I'll read the Bible. So I read Psalm 118:8, and it says, better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. And I was like, wow, okay. So, but during that whole process, I still had a little bit of stubbornness. I started seeing my mom hurting. I started seeing my family hurting. It wasn't just me that was suffering a little bit. It was my family. And then that's what God started putting on my heart. Like, you're hurting your loved ones, too. I have my little nieces and nephews. I don't have any kids, but my little nieces and nephews are my world. And the only thing I was thinking, I was like, man, I don't want to leave them. I'll go to jail or prison, but them, like, they're so close to me. And that really hurt me. I started coming to church because my cousin had invited me to come over. And I had lost my car, I had lost my job, I had lost my apartment, wasn't talking to certain friends no more. I had a fiance at that time, and she walked out on me after the preliminary, and everybody was just walking out on me. And I was like, man. And that was the first time that I ever felt betrayed, abandoned, and broken in my life. And here I went from this super, thought I was this rapper, you know, all controlling SD, so to speak, or whatever, and literally just like a little mouse in the corner, just lonely. You know what I mean? And there's a saying that says, you never know how much you need God until God is all you have. You know what I mean? And God really tugged at my heart. And eventually, my cousin that comes here, he said, hey, why don't you come to church? And I was like, church? And he was like, yeah, come to church, man. Give God a shot. And I said, I got nothing to lose. I lost it all already. So I said, all right. Like I said, I just came here to hear a sermon. And I came out. I walked in. I sat right up on the top. And the pastor came out. His name was Pastor Miles. And he said, who's the man?
Jesus.
And I said, it was a cool church. And ever since then, I started coming. I started learning. I remember I eventually got a Bible. And I started reading and opening my mind. And, I tell a lot of the homies in here and out there on the streets, I said, man, we could just lay our pride down aside, man, and just be open and just give them a shot. And, you know, being a man is like we're so prideful. You know, and I just said, you know what, let me put my pride aside and just give it a shot and see what happens. And I've been here
ever
since.
Tell them about the hospitality.
Oh, yeah. I walked through these doors, and the first people that I seen were the hospitality people. Shout out to hospitality. These were complete strangers I didn't even know. And they were just welcoming with a smile, a handshake. How are you doing? God bless you. God bless you. And from the moment I walked in them doors, I felt like I was loved. I felt appreciated. And they didn't even know me, you know. And I felt the love of God in this house. And now I'm on hospitality.
Good. Larry, God threw you to the ground, turned you around, and said, and got your full heart. Tell us about that.
God threw me to the ground in the form of a federal indictment in 2009. At the time, it shocked me so bad because the way they portrayed me on the news was like I shot the president. They said that I was a gang leader, gun runner, and drug runner, And I was armed and dangerous. I was on the run for like 4 days, watching myself on the news and talking to the federal agents that were chasing me, who told me wasn't no use in me turning myself in. It was going to kill me. So eventually I turned myself in, bailed out, and started fighting the case. I was looking at double-digit years also. And God started showing me little by little that he had control over this case. So the numbers started coming down. And then I went to court on my sentencing day. And I remember because I was all jacked up on different kinds of drugs and I was drunk. So basically, I stood there in front of the judge, looked at him, but I wasn't there. I blanked out. And so I already knew that I was going to get some heavy time, but I was asking God, man, I can't do no more time, man. I've been in and out of prison all my life. I'm burnt out on doing time. So after I blacked out and everything, and the judge sentenced me, at which I didn't even hear, the bailiff came and he cuffed me up, and he was like, man, you got a deal, bro. After all that stuff they read on you, man, you got a deal, man. God is good. And I'm like, well, what happened? He was like, man, you didn't hear what the judge said, man? I mean, God is good, man. You should pray to God. I'm like, what happened? He said, you didn't hear? He said, oh, man. I said, man, look, man, I need to lay down, bro. So they took me in the back and everything, and then God just started revealing stuff, man, and he just let me know that this case had nothing to do with the crimes that they was accusing me of, but he needed to talk to me, and the only way he can talk to me is back in prison. Because I was praying for stuff like a halfway house, you know, the softer side of Sears type, doing time, you know, can I just do some county time or whatever. But God was like, man, I can't talk to you there because you ain't going to listen. We tried that already. So the only way he can talk to me was back in prison because I'm just that hard-headed. And then
how many of y'all, you just think about it, don't respond. I want you to think that God has been trying to speak to you and you're hard-headed. And he's like, I love you. You're like, oh, God, I'll do it another time. Oh, God, I'll do it next week. Oh, God, I'm not. And you think you're getting away with fronting God off, and he's just patiently waiting, but you're ruining your life. And don't wait, and don't put God in a position where he has to slam you to the ground. Because if he slams you to the ground, it may hurt really bad where you got to walk around with a limp for the rest of your life. Just give it up. Just give it up. Okay.
So on my way back to prison, the numbers came down to where they gave me, it got knocked down to just one charge, and that charge carried something like 3, 4, and 5. They gave me the midterm, which is 4 years. So I got 4 years. And then on my way back to prison, God started revealing to me all my weaknesses. Like, I'm not that tough of a guy. Look at you now, you know what I mean? And then, so I go back to prison, and I'm sitting on the reception yard waiting to get housed and everything, going through medical and everything. And I saw a guy walking towards the building that I was in, somebody that I got into a confrontation with, and guns were involved, and he wound up going to the hospital. So as he was walking my way, this verse kept going through my head. It was Proverbs 16:7. And in that verse it says, when a man's ways pleases the Lord, he makes even your enemies be at peace with you. So as this guy was walking over there, I was like, all right, Lord, check this out. Me and this guy got beef. You know what I'm saying? I started quoting scriptures. I started holding God accountable for everything that I read, that I knew. And then this guy approached, and then, you know what I'm saying, I was ready to get down with this dude. And
Down means fight.
And I was ready to get down with
get
this
down,
dude.
Honey, what does that mean? Are they going to dance? What are they going to do?
Yeah.
Are they going to boogie down, or what are they going
to do? Yeah, so we was about to fight, and he walks up to me, and I'm already ready to get down. I'm already overreacting and everything. He was like, what's up? I said, what's up? And he's like, what's up? I said, what's up? You know what I'm saying? So we went back and forth with the what's ups. And then I'm thinking to myself, is this fool playing stupid or whatever? You know what I mean? So he said, hey, man, you still rapping? And I go, what's that mean, fool? And he goes, no, man, I mean, are you still rapping? I'm like, yeah, what you trying to say? Because I thought it was just a plot to get closer to me so he could try to do something to me. And I was already ready to fight this dude. And he goes, all right, man. So he peels off.
That means he left. Okay. Now, Let me say this. As you're listening to the story, he had the indictment. He got the years from 10, 20 years down to 4. And God is saying, Larry, I'm working with you. You're going to jail, but I got to speak to you. And he said, okay, God, but he's not ready to surrender yet. And so this guy's come up to him, and he says, God, I'm going to test you. If you are faithful to have this boy, guy be at peace with you, I'll believe in you. But I'm ready to fight. So in other words, I did make a commitment, but I'm not really sold out to that commitment yet because I'm going to fight this dude. So that's what God is doing with him now. So the first guy says, you know, are you rapping? They're not fighting. So he says, okay, maybe he wasn't going to attack me. So now God's still testing him because God wants his whole heart. He don't have his whole heart yet. So go ahead.
So after that, I see another guy that I got into a conference. I mean, it was like a whole yard full of my enemies. And then I seen this other guy approach who I know for a fact seen my face during the confrontation that we had got into, and his partners got hurt pretty bad. So I'm like, all right, God, here we go again, because I'm taking that first incident as just a coincidence. You know, okay, whatever. So here comes this other guy, and same thing. What's up? What's up? What's happening? What's up with you? What's up with you? So after 25 what's ups, you know what I mean? He says the same thing to me. He's all like, you still doing your music? I'm like, what's that mean, fool? You know what I mean? And he was like, no, man, I'm just, check this out, man. I was in a high-speed chase, right? And while I was in the high-speed chase, I was bumping your CD. So I crash, and I come to jail, and your CD is stuck in my deck right now on the impound. So again, I'm like, what's that mean? So he was like, man, hold on, man. He said, what I'm saying is, man, you should use that talent to praise God with.
Okay, I want you to understand, they're in prison. These are people who he is his enemies that got into the hospital with altercation. If you saw that in a movie, and the guy said, you should use your talent to praise God, and they're in prison, please, that don't happen.
So after that,
brother got a hard head. That's why God had to do that right there.
So after that, he peels off.
He left.
So after that, he peels off, and then I was pretty much sold out from that point. And as we was walking to the building that they was gonna house me in, I noticed that they had a yard barber, and my hair was down to here at the time. And so I asked if I can go over there and get my hair cut. And I've never been bald head in my life. I've always had long hair. So I stepped up in there and I said, man, take it all off. And I shaved all my hair off as a symbol of new beginnings with my walk with Christ.
You might wonder, where does he get the long hair? Because he's got a ponytail. He's Samoan and black. I mean, Samoan and what's your fault? Trinidad. Okay. That's a great story, brother. And when I met him, we have a pastor here on staff, Pastor Sean, who is a former gang member. He is a white guy who used to be Crips. Is that correct? Where is he at? Isn't that correct? Now, he looks like Opie. But he was in a black gang, okay? And every time gang members come, he'll call me or text me and say, hey, he's a banger here. And I say, I want to meet him, and then bring him back. So he said, Larry's here. This guy just got out of prison. You want to meet him? I said, I want to meet him. And that's how we met. So I go down to his house, and we hang out in front of his corner and talk about stuff. Now that when Paul got saved, God tells a guy named Ananias, I want you to go to this house, and I want you to pray for a guy named Saul from Tarsus. Let me read what he says to him. Verse 10. It says, there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. Chapter 9, verse 10. And the Lord said in a vision, Ananias, here I am. And he said, rise and go to a street called Straight at the house of Judas. Look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. But behold, he is praying, and he has seen a vision of a man named Ananias come and lay hands on him so that he may regain his sight. Ananias said, Lord, I have heard many things about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name and to arrest us. Now, don't you think God knows that? If God, and you know, you have to think about this. Sometimes you have a conversation with God like, God doesn't know everything. Like, God, I need money. Don't you think I know that? God, I'm hungry. Don't you think I know that? God, you know, we complain to God as though we got to inform him of something he doesn't know. And then it says, he says, verse 15, the Lord said, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles. These people, our guests, are chosen vessels of God. Amen. Devil had them, and God said, okay, done. Now, there's still people out there in that lifestyle. They got to make a decision at some point to submit to God. But they did, and they're chosen vessel of God. So what I want to talk about now, just to ask this last question, is what do y'all do now?
Well, I got my son right there. I've been raising him for 16 years. Little dad right there. And then I...
And let me say, we love your dad, by the way. We love your dad.
Yeah, stand up right there, Dad.
And your dad's a big teddy bear, ain't he? There he goes. Hey, man.
And then I also go to schools, and I talk to kids. We do gang prevention and intervention, and I go to juvenile hall, too.
Go ahead. Whenever you see Taz, he's a very recognizable guy. If you see him out there, because he's just got such a pretty baby face. When you go up to talk to him, how would you like people to approach you?
Okay. I didn't get a chance earlier, but I'm going to tell you, because this is my service, so you are my people. Hold on, Miles. Hold on. Look, there's more of you than us, my misfit section, the tattooed look. And I know I did it to myself. I've been hearing it from my mom for 44 years. But when you come to somebody like maybe some of those guys over there, that, you know, been through some things like everybody up here, a simple way to create a conversation or let me know that everything's all right is just smile and say hello. And then that lets me know you're good.
That's right. You want to explain why?
Oh, well, see, we are trained for defense mechanism when you're on the streets. When you get within a 2-foot proximity to strike.
To what?
Strike.
So one of the things that I do all the time is I'm a touchy-feely guy, so every time I see him, I'm always doing this to him, right? I had a guy in the back once, and same MO as them, and I was hugging on him, rubbing his head, and I said, and he was a bad dude in the past. And he said, I said, do people rub your head? And he looked at me, and he was smiling, laughing, and he went straight face. He says, people don't even get this close to me, which I knew. But we're human, and that is what we want. The devil wants us this way. God wants us this way. So say hi. Smile, okay? That's why when I tell you to go up to the police and show your hands. Because they got in their mind, you know, they don't trust people either because they deal with knuckleheads every day. So, Frankie, what do you do? Tell us what you do here.
I eventually joined Rockin' the Hood Gang Ministry. I'm actually assistant leader now in Rockin' the Hood. We bring in youngsters, start mentoring them. We have Bible studies every Monday at 7 o'clock here. We also go out and feed the homeless. I think like once every 2-3 months or just whenever we feel, we make a bunch of sandwiches, we barbecue meat, and we just go downtown and we just love on the homies out there and just show love. You know, I also do hospitality. Shout out to the hospitality. Like I said, when I walked through those doors, they were just a blessing to me. But there's people in here carrying burdens right now. They're just overwhelmed with a lot of stress, with a lot of so much weight on their shoulders. Like they got to constantly carry these burdens. Well, I want to let you know that we're right here for you at Rockin' the Hood. You guys want to come and check out our ministry. There's no Pharisees in there. Ain't nobody going to judge you. We like to have a good time. And we just pray and we just read and we learn and we crack jokes and we have fun.
been a long day. Okay, I'm Noelle, and I'm part of the pastoral support ministry. And someone asked me at the last service, what exactly is that? And it's the people that come up to the front of the stage in prayer, and we do baptisms, and we learn about marrying people and counseling and stuff like that. And then I'm also part of the Rock Financial Ministry. So shout out to PSTs.
I have a sober living. It's called Predestined Sober Living, under Predestined Ministry. And what I do is I go to the prisons and I get the guys that are coming out and I help them find jobs, reduce the recidivism, help them with clothes, shelter, whatever they need. Also, I do gang intervention and prevention with Greater Works Empowerment Center. And we're trying to stop families from calling us after their kids get killed. Let's try to be proactive and call us before your kids get killed. And then also I'm also linked to Peace and Unity. And we're the ones standing on the corners, honk if you want peace. And we're trying to stop all the gang violence out here in Southeast San Diego.
Amen. Larry goes to another church. His pastor's A.B. Vines, which is a great man of God, a good friend for a long time. He has a table out in the lobby with some of his guys out there handing out flyers if you want to do something south of 94 with them. Here's the thing. What is the point of all this? The point of all this is that God is wanting to know who will trust him. He don't care about your past or your present. He just wants to know who's ready to trust him. And out of all of us in here watching online, North County, all of us are sinners, whether you're a sinner south of 94 or north of the 52. Whether you got a T-shirt or a tie, it don't matter. You're still a sinner. And it may look different, but it's still the same. And God wants to know, are you ready to trust me? Are you ready to give your life to me? And what is it going to take? Am I going to have to send you to jail? Am I going to have to get you strung out on drugs? Am I going to have your family leave you? Whatever. But why are you going to wait that long? Why don't you just let me have your heart now? So in a minute, we're going to pray and give you an opportunity to say, Lord, I want to trust you. Okay, here's Apostle Paul. He was a rabbi. He was religiously educated, as high as he could have been educated. And he was doing what he thought was the righteous thing to do, yet he was wrong. He needed to bow his knee to Jesus. And if you haven't bowed your knee to Jesus, it ain't going to get you to heaven. You don't have a relationship with God that he created you for. So in a minute, we're going to pray, and I want to give you an opportunity. We want to give you an opportunity to say, Lord, like Paul did, what do you want me to do to say that to God? Some of you are going to say that by getting saved. Some of you have already asked Christ to be your Savior, but you're not walking with him. You need to say, Lord, what do you want me to do? You need to get your hair cut off. Okay, you need to have a new beginning. So let's all bow our heads and pray. And I want you to think very carefully and closely and think about your life, where you're at with God, and if, in fact, you are just kind of going through the motions. God doesn't want you to go through the motions. Lord, we thank you for being good to us. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for all the people watching online. Thank you for the people in Hawaii watching and all over the world. Thank you for the ability to speak to them. Thank you for everybody watching in North County. But Lord, most of all, I thank you for being patient with every one of us. As we always want to do our own thing, but you are so patient. But there's going to come a day when we die, it's going to be all too late. If you're ready to surrender your heart to God and say to God what Paul said, what do you want me to do? I want you to pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart. By praying this prayer, you are surrendering your heart, your life to Jesus. In the privacy of your heart, pray, dear God, please forgive me of my sin. I know you died for me and rose from the dead. I know you love me. Please forgive me. I surrender my life to you. I surrender my stuff, my pride, my ego, my secrets. I surrender it all to you. Cleanse my heart, cleanse my mind. Thank you, God. As your eyes are closed and your heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer, in a minute I'm going to ask you to stand. If you're in North County, I'm going to ask you to stand there as well. There's somebody there who will pray with you. So right now, if you prayed that prayer and you're saying, yes, Lord, I'm ready to surrender my life to God. I don't want to fight you anymore. I want to give everything to you. I just want you to stand up to your feet and acknowledge your humility before God. Acknowledge His forgiveness in your life. Just stand to your feet. God bless you. Just stand to your feet. Very good. God.